From a broader college counseling, this is Jacob Toh. I remember the first time when I heard about the second faculty of medicine at Charles University in Prague, Czech Republic. It was during my freshman year when I heard about this. It was from one of my classmates whose resume really stood out from the rest of us. He grew up speaking three languages, he was well connected in three different continents, and he was really popular as a student athlete. I had to say I was really baffled when I heard about this. However, when I look back now, it really made more sense for him financially. And on top of that, he had families in Europe, and he knew he wanted to go to medicine 100% from the beginning. After looking more into this, I realized this could be a good option for many students out there who want to commit to study medicine 100% and who are willing to learn a new language along the way. Today we have Christina from, it's kind of complicated, you're from Finland and from Czech Republic.
Yes.
But you just finished your medical degree.
Yeah.
At the second faculty of Charles University, so congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's very fresh. It's 2 weeks old.
It's 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with maybe about your journey. You're from Czech Republic. You're from Finland and your mother's from Czech Republic. And how did you get into going to school in Czech Republic?
Well, it's a bit longer story. So I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a doctor. The question was where I would go. In the high school, I was going more for let's stay in Finland and just continue here. And then I actually tried to apply three times and I didn't get in. And then I was like, okay, well, my mom was telling me about the option here in Czech Republic, and I actually she knew about the second faculty as one of the best faculties in Czech Republic, and that's why I then decided to apply to Czech Republic and to second faculty.
Okay, and I talked to a lot of international students, and one of the factors the tuition. So how is it like for you as a European citizen? Do you have to pay a lot? Do you know the number?
Well, the international, so we have two parallels. We have a Czech parallel and we have the international or English speaking parallel, which the English speaking one is paid always and the Czech one is not paid. So I could have technically, I have the language skills. The problem was that for 21 years I was in Finland, I was in the system speaking Finnish, and I just had I had Czech language in my head, but it was kind of rusty. So it took some time before I was like able to kind of get it going. And I still have trouble like having a proper conversation. So I decided that I'm going to apply for the international parallel. And then when you apply, my tuition fee was, I think, 360,000 Czech crowns, which is approximately like $14,000, I think. If I'm not mistaken, you can check that, but it's around that. And now it has actually raised a bit. It's $420,000. And I don't know how the conversion goes to dollars or anything. Yeah. So
a little bit more, like 20,000,
something like that. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think definitely it's one of the less expensive faculties,
for sure.
I think, in Europe. So,
How about for non-EU citizens? Do you know how much they pay? Do they pay the same amount?
Or? It's the same amount for international.
Oh, okay.
If you start, it's the same for everyone.
Okay.
So if you get in, everyone pays the same.
Okay. So the ones who are doing the English program, they pay. They have to pay tuition, but it's the same for every student.
Yep.
But for the Czech program, it's for free.
It's for free. Okay. So you can, I know there is actually a funny story. There's one student that came from outside the EU and he didn't have any Czech language skills. And he did some few month course in Czech and applied for the Czech parallel, got in. And now he's working in Czech, working as a doctor in our hospital.
Well, he must be really smart.
But there is cases like this. So if you want to skip the tuition fee, you know.
They're dedicated. Okay, that's very interesting. So my second question would be, so one, I asked for the money mm-hmm. part. So mm-hmm. how about a program in general? Could you give us like an overview? Like how long does it take? And
So it has changed a bit since mm-hmm. I started. So I started 6 years ago. So the program itself is 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3 years are more like a, let's say like theoretical. So you have mm-hmm. the big subjects like anatomy, histology, physiology, pathology, name mm-hmm. it. All of those like more mm-hmm. sits in front of the desk and study type of subjects. And then from fourth year onwards, you have like a clinical practice. So you mm-hmm. are doing rotations, like in the American way, how you call it. Mm-hmm. And you go into like the departments, and then you do in different subspecialties. You go like and get kind of to know like what different options you have after you graduate. Second faculty is known for their pediatric program.
Yeah.
So we were like historically a pediatric, so children's medical school.
Yeah.
And it's really visible from third year onwards. Like we are basically taught peds, so pediatrics and adults. So we have it like kind of combined. So if you know
so it's very practical, you deal with patients all the time. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I would say that still the practical part is less advanced than it is in Finland, because in Finland you actually get like your own patients
really?
From the third year onwards. But okay. in here we more like get to see patients, do like basic history examination, but we can't really like be unsupervised and do things without like a supervision.
Okay, fascinating.
Mm.
And how is it like for... for you to, I mean, you know Czech, the language.
Yep.
But how is it for other international students? I mean, I listened to a podcast. That was a huge topic with the students. But what would you say in general? Because you know so many international students are your classmates.
Yeah.
It must be difficult. But is it doable like for like students who are really not talented in languages?
Yeah.
How would you tell them? Yes. Yeah.
We are taught, like, if you're not me or mm-hmm. like a person that has the Czech language, you mm-hmm. do course in Czech from first year to third year. It's more like a medical Czech type of thing. So you don't learn that much of like the actual practical. There is not to sound like they don't teach like normal Czech as well. They do, but it's more like centered around the medical Czech. And then when you start the clinical practice, you are really exposed to Czech, because you have patients, usually older mm-hmm. patients who don't speak English. So you have to kind of use the language that you got, or the knowledge that you got from the first years or 3 years. But it is not easy. Like it is, mm-hmm. is definitely not easy. And the language itself, especially if you come from somewhere that it's like completely different. Like, let's say if someone comes from Poland to Czech Republic, it's kind of similar, but I would say that it is a tough language for sure to learn. But I know that everything is doable. Like all the teaching, doctors generally try their best to speak English, and especially in the first 3 years, like the theoretical part, I feel like everyone that taught us like spoke well English. Then in the fourth year onwards, it's more like doctors actually teaching us, so sometimes there's like a bit struggle with the English part, but it's always like you understand each other.
I see.
It's not
Is it required for the program for the English program that you have to learn Czech in the first 3 years and then pass exam, something like that?
Yeah. So you have to pass it as any other subject in our faculty. So there's all the courses that you take, you have to pass. Mm-hmm. And you have usually three attempts for each attempt, like each exam. But you have to, you have
also for the Czech language.
You have, and we also learn like we learn also Latin, so you have two languages starting from the beginning.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it like for international students? Where let me reframe the question. Where they usually come from? Like where are they from? Everywhere.
We are from everywhere. Our faculty is quite international in the sense it sounds weird, but we are really like in our year there was Brazilians, we had students from Spain, Portugal, then we had like Americans, we had Canadians, we had everything. So name it, we're gonna probably have it. So we are very international school for sure.
I see. How about the student body ratio? How many students are enrolled in the Czech program and how many in the English program do you know?
You mean for the whole program or you mean for year? I mean, I don't know the exact numbers for the year, so for me it would be easier to say. So generally, I think there's more than, I think it's 1,500 of Czech students in all the 6 years, and then we are like 250. But the numbers are like changing, but we are really like minority in like the bigger
That makes
picture.
sense. But still, 200 something students over 6 years, that's still a lot of
Yeah, it is. And like it's, but we're still, I think, the smallest faculty. So we have like the least international students. And I think it's also making it much more like we know each other better. I don't know if it's always a good thing, but we know each other for sure because it's a small program.
Yeah, I see. And is it easier to for international students to get to know the Czech students? Like, for example, students from your program get to know students from the Czech program. Is it normal or is it more separate?
We are kind of working towards being more connected with the Czech parallel. The problem is we have a really different like schedules. For them, they always have something else than we have, and then we switch. So, if you're very motivated to meet with the Czech students, it is possible. I have a friend from Czech parallel, multiple of them, but because I was kind of like working also in our academic senate, so I was more included in like the faculty, and I had to be kind of like making connections, and so I met a few people in the Czech parallel. But I know that it's possible. I have friends from our parallel who are like meeting a regular basis with Czech students as well. So it's possible, but we are not that much hanging out together, which we are trying to change because I think it would be really nice to kind of, you know, combine the forces a bit as well.
Well, yeah, that's fascinating. And I forgot to mention that I've mentioned a little bit that you're also doing a podcast with Duke University. Is it like a co collaboration or
I don't know if you can call it like a collaboration. I was more so reached out to, please, can you come and
Oh,
help us with
okay.
this project?
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually didn't know that I would enjoy it that much because never done that before, and it was actually quite interesting. Like, it's fun. Yeah, so we did a few podcasts, and I don't know if we're gonna actually continue still because there's a lot of topics that international students are interested in, and we were concentrating more of like towards the applicants, so that they feel like they get the knowledge, like information straight from the students and straight from the personnel, like the people working for the faculty. And yeah, there's few episodes on like how is the studying in Czech Republic, and then we have graduates from international parallel who stayed in Czech Republic, so that I think is also very interesting. And now we're gonna have few episodes for the like IB program because we have some. I already talked to you about this before, but we're gonna have like exemptions from the entrance exams. So IB program is one of them, like with some certain results. And then we have one more about how the first year is because that's like a big monster and people are really scared of the first year. So how it is, actually, we should probably mention this, that we take in certain amount of students, but those students are not like gonna be promised the 6 years. You have to pass all the exams to be able to go to this the second year. So
I see.
we call it a bit like a Hunger Games, and like it's the first year is tough, definitely. And I always keep saying that I wouldn't say that the information is the hardest, but more like getting to know yourself and how is like the studying methods for you and everything. Because people generally come here very young, like we have 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. So before you kind of, you know, ease
It's
into
tough,
it, yeah, it is tough.
in a foreign country.
Yeah.
The podcast is called Pallycast, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Why Pallycast? Is it, what was, I didn't understand.
Yeah. The name. Yeah. So our logo, or like our mascot, is a pelican. Yeah.
Okay.
So everything is kind of around the pelican.
Oh, pelican.
We actually have even like a pelican in a zoo that we are like sending money to and whatnot. It's quite funny. And yeah, so we have yearly this event called Pelican, which is like the film festival film festival. And we kind of have like a movie night with all these new movies and whatnot. So the pelican is really like in everything you can see. So if you see pelican somewhere, it's probably our faculty.
Okay. And it's only for your faculty. It's not for the whole university.
These also, I think diverse faculty has it also in the logo, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Okay.
But I think we're just very vocal about the logo for our
that sounds fun.
yeah
very funny. And could you I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but what's the requirement for international students to get into your program?
Is something that has changed a lot since I applied. I applied mm-hmm. Through entrance exam, which was held here in person, and it's two-parted. So there is an MCQ part. Mm-hmm. And then there is like an oral part.
Okay.
And the oral part is more like an interview with the professors of this faculty, which you're going to meet after you start study.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, like you, with some exceptions, like you can also apply through just like, as I said, the IB program. I could actually send you if you're interested, like we have on our website all of the data about like how you can actually get in without the entrance exam. And then our faculty is also doing, like, they're traveling to different countries. They were actually now in Canada, and they travel all around the world to do the entrance exams in person.
Really?
In different countries. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So that's also possible. I'm not actually sure about US, if they are going to US yet, but I think that's probably on their list soon.
But that's so interesting. Why are they promoting it so much? If I could ask, because I know in Germany or in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. you know, there are some, I wouldn't say universities, but politicians who are against it. Promoting programs and then bringing more internationals. Because in the Netherlands, for example, the housing crisis is driven kind of by the international mm-hmm. students, or accordingly. I mean, it's not. But how is it like in Czech Republic? The university is actually actively recruiting students from abroad. That's
I think was the underlying reason was kind of to broaden again, like the population of students that we get in. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't be just, let's say, Europeans, but we would like to have like students for all around and find really like the best students around the world.
Okay.
And like the program, I think still is that they take around 90 students per year if all of the spots are fulfilled. So
it's competitive. It's very competitive.
It is. Yeah, it is quite competitive. I remember for my year, it was really competitive. But it's definitely not like impossible. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. But we do, to Netherlands. No, I don't think they go to Netherlands, but, I think they were in Germany. They go to Portugal, like really all around.
Really?
All around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And do you know how many students apply? If 90 people get in, how many?
Actually, for the international, I don't know. This year for the Czech parallel, it was like more than 3,000, and they take in like 100, 150.
Okay.
So it is very competitive in the Czech parallel. Yeah. In the international, I'm not going to tell you anything because I'm not sure about the numbers.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But yeah, but still, yeah.
Yeah. It is not that competitive for the international parallel than it's for
For the that makes more sense. I mean, from my personal or my assumption would be a lot of students, like if students are really good, good at school, like Germans, for example, they would prefer to stay in Germany and go to a good medical school here. Why would they go to Czech Republic? Not saying the university is not famous or good, or just people would prefer to stay, right?
I think it's more the how, for instance, I thought when I applied here was that I have the doors open to anywhere, you know? I think our faculty is one of the only faculties that has the Medical Board of California accreditation. So you can, like, it is tough to get from Europe to US. Definitely to be a doctor. But we are, I think, one of the only faculties that allows you to, like, work in California, which is not, I think, common. So,
yeah.
So I would say that for me, it was more that I have options after I finish, so I can choose where to go. And I would say also, like, the medicine here in Czech Republic is really good.
It's just no doubt about it. Yeah,
it's just not very, like, internationalized. That's a bit of a problem still. That, like, I would say that's
Okay. My final question for today is again about money. So my first question about the money, like how much money you invest, and the second question is how much money you're gonna have in return. So how is it like to be a doctor in Czech Republic? Was if I could ask, was it every salary it's like?
Yeah, so it obviously depends if you already did your residency or not, if you are like specialized doctor or not.
Yeah.
When you start in the bigger hospitals, I think it's like 30,000 Czech crowns, which again, I think that's like, I'm going to probably say these numbers wrong, but I think it's like $1,500 per month. So it is, for the standards in Prague, like everything is getting more expensive here.
Yeah.
So the pays are not the best, and it's everyone knows it, and people are struggling, and but it is like that for now. I think it increases quite a lot when you specialize. I think it's everywhere the same.
Yeah.
But the pays are not very good in the beginning, for sure. No.
Okay. Would you say, because I listened to your episodes and you didn't mention the money part.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to ask, is it a reason why, a lot of students move away, especially kids from Germany or from other European countries. They go back home, right?
Yeah.
Do you think money is also a factor that they make more money in the UK or somewhere else?
I think majority of the people leave Czech Republic because they kind of knew already at the beginning that they're not going to stay.
Okay.
They have kind of like the mentality that they really want to go back to their home countries and practice in their home countries. And obviously, like, learning here, you have to know Czech before you start working. So you really would have to put a lot of time and effort to learn another language properly and then start working in that language, which is not easy. So I would say more that this is kind of the reason, not that much the money. Because I think at the end of the day, like, the pays are not good in anywhere when you start. Maybe US, but I also heard, which is not completely true, that the beginnings are also tough for the amount of hours you do. So
for sure.
So here you have some working hours which you should meet, like, every day, and you can't really be overtime for, you know, like, certain amount of time. There is, like, laws for it, so you can't be, I don't know, back-to-back 24-hour shifts or something. So in that sense, if we compare, probably, like, the bigger picture, it's quite the similar with the pace. So I wouldn't say that people escape because of that. Might be that some people do, but I think more that they can go to their own families and
I think so too. I think I've talked to a lot of, I mean, not that many, but several students from the States and in Europe. What I realize is the mentality is completely different. This investment part, I think a lot of the Americans are more towards that. especially people who go into medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for Europeans, it's a bit different, I guess.
I actually, again, a doctor who, she did her med school actually back in US because mm-hmm. she lived there for her whole life. But she's also half Czech. So then she decided, because her family lives here, that she will move back to here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. She gave us like a presentation on like the pace and whatnot. Then she was saying how like overworked everyone is and like burned out after finishing your med school. So it sounded quite hard and harsh, honestly, when I was listening to it. So
yeah,
I think here you don't, like, it is tough as well,
mm-hmm.
definitely, but you don't burn out maybe that easily.
Yeah, I can imagine. I see. Yeah. Is there final words you want to share about your experience
I would say be prepared. If you decide to apply to a faculty, mm-hmm. be prepared. It's not going to be easy, but then mm-hmm. it's super rewarding when you push through and you pass. And what is nice about our program is the international vibe and the environment that you're in. So you get to know so many people all around the world, and you get also get closer to different like medical system, because then if mm-hmm. you go back, you obviously have to then acquire to the environment in that country where you're going to be working, but
mm-hmm.
but you get kind of multiple good things out of this. So I would say take it as it's not going to be easy, but if you're motivated, it is doable, definitely. And it's rewarding. I would say that the 6 years I did here really changed me and modified me to what I'm mm-hmm. now in a good way. And I hope I'm going to be reflecting back to this 6 years in a positive way.
Yeah, and you have to make a decision now very soon.
Yeah, I can't be unemployed for the next 6 years, right? I have
Yeah,
but that's what I was also kind of saying, that you have choices. Now I have choices. I can
that's
stay
a really
here.
Good point. Yeah.
I can go back to Finland,
mm-hmm.
which is not a bad option either. I mm-hmm. can go to UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
could even go to California.
Even then... if I decided that I want to switch completely. Yeah, that's true. Great.
Well, thank you so much, Christina.
No, I thank you for your time and reaching out to me.
So that's it for the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have questions or suggestions, please reach out to me to help me make more authentic and informative content for students out there who are looking for alternatives to traditional college degrees. I'm Jacob Toh. Thank you for listening.